A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by John. John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples as he watched Jesus walk by. And he said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said, and they immediately followed Jesus. Jesus turned, and he saw them following him. And he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." So they went and they saw where Jesus was standing, and they stayed with him that whole day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon, and he told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. Henceforth, you will be called Rock," which is translated Peter. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Both the first and the third readings are set in parallel to one another because they're both about call and response. We see in this gospel that they say, "Where are you staying?" And he doesn't give them a verbal answer. He says, "Come and stay with me." The only way you really know another person is by immediate presence, not by titles or words or roles, but you have to be around them to pick up their real energy, how they live and how they love. I'm going to spend most of my few words on the first reading because, frankly, it's one of my favorites in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's the call of the prophet Samuel. He's a mere boy. He's been taken in by the priest Eli to sort of watch over him and raise him. And it's a beautiful commentary, really, on the development of call and response. How we learn to hear and how we learn to really hear. So the first two times he hears the voice, the little boy wakes up and runs to the priest Eli, thinking he's calling him. And each time Eli says, "Go back to sleep." And only the third time does he have the ability to recognize, oh my God, he's hearing the voice of God. You see, the voice of God always first sounds like a human voice. How else could God speak to you? He's got to speak through the voice of your wife, your husband, your neighbor, the poor, the immigrants. That's how God speaks. And Eli has to tell him that. Now, next time you hear that voice, know that it is the voice of God, even though it will sound exactly like a human voice. And then Samuel gives this most beautiful response, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." How lovely. And then it says, Samuel then goes back to sleep, and the Lord came and revealed his presence to him. So the first two times, it's merely the naming of his name, Samuel, Samuel. First, brothers and sisters, and this is true for every one of us in this room, you have to feel yourself addressed, named, honored, beheld, respected. The dialogue has to begin. And basically, that's what prayer is. It's a dialogue that once it starts, it's always initiated from God's side. But once you volley it back, and once it becomes a very real voice inside of you, then it doesn't just sound like your neighbor's voice, but believe it or not, it sounds like your voice. Of course it does. I don't know if you remember the account of the martyrdom of Joan of Arc, where they're about to burn her at the stake for her heresies. And she says, those who were inquiring of her say, you're just hearing your own voices. You're not hearing God's voices. And she says, how else would God speak to me but through my own voice? No one ever told me that most of my life. We all sit waiting for visions and apparitions and manifestations and a glow in the dark. How else will God speak to you? But the whole question is, you have to learn to respect it, to listen to it, to trust it. Now, I'm not saying every voice you hear is the voice of God. Here's basically the way you can tell. If the voice is filling you with self-pity, if the voice is making you judge other people, blame other people, accuse other people, it's not the voice of God. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's your voice. But if the voice is calling you to a bigger world, to a more compassionate world, where we don't call people bad names, like we heard from the highest levels of our government this week. And imagine how this is being modeled for the whole country, to think it's acceptable for human beings to put down other human beings. That is not the voice of God. But I've given you the criteria. You know. So you won't make that same mistake. And when you hear what sometimes will sound like the voice of your husband or your wife or the beggar at the street, you'll know that maybe this is not just this beggar's voice or my wife's voice. In fact, how else will God speak to you? And when you can come with the same generous response, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You don't have to say it in those exact words, but then the dialogue begins. And gradually the voices become more subtle, more compassionate, more loving. They broaden and broaden and include more people and more ideas and more of the world. If the voice is making you bigger, it's the voice of God. If the voice is making you smaller and stingy and righteous, it is not the voice of God. Once that dialogue begins, it's pretty hard to stop. In fact, you can imagine why so many of the saints said that we really pray always. It's an inner dialogue that never stops, of the voice of God through the voices of everything, and learning how to say the way the humble Samuel did, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then it ends by saying, and Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him. And not one of his words, at least another translation says, not one of his words ever fell to the earth without being heard. Let's hope that at least somehow that can be true for us too.